Hi, everybody. Thank you for your support as always. The NARCCon podcast is now offering a membership only subscription of the price of a cup of coffee per month for all new and some of the old podcasts going into the membership section. Please join us if you'd like more of this content. We would love to see you there. And to remind you, should you wish to avail of the free content, it is available over on YouTube in both video and podcast form. God bless everyone. Take care, and I hope you enjoy the content that's to come. Hello, everybody, and you're extremely welcome to our channel, NARCCon, where we think and talk about all things narcissists so that we can protect ourselves going forward and make sense of a relationship we may have had with a narcissist. Today I'd like to get into the subject of how narcissists move, and in fact getting into a relationship with anyone, even in a workplace relationship. The speed of movement and the way the narcissist will get you to travel through a relationship, and the impingement, the things that they will hook you with to try and keep you in the relationship, is very much like a predator, is very much like a hunter who goes out, who stalks somebody, who tries to get them engaged as quickly as possible, under control as quickly as possible, so that they can feed off them and keep that form of supply under control for as long as possible. So let's get into this. And these are things you can actually look at getting into any relationship. They're warning signs. They're not things that actually work in reality, even though we would love to think that we would fall in love instantly, that everything would work out in the most beautiful way very quickly. Generally, you know, when you have a fast food meal, it satisfies you very quickly, but then the after effects aren't good. It's like this in a relationship with a narcissist. It's a fast food fix, and it's absolutely a great high for a very short space of time. But the effects of staying with that type of person are the same effects you would get from not having the proper nutrients, etc., and actually doing damage to your health. So I hope that analogy makes sense. So I think I have about 8 things written down, and all narcissists will use this type of a method because for them, they don't have to put much effort in. It's full of manipulation, and it gives them a quick fix, and it holds people to them so that they can return and feed again on that person. So let's get into it. Okay, so the 8 forms of narcissistic entrapment you must watch out for. And these are signs. So if it's happened to you or it's happening to you at this minute in time, look out, look back and see if this ticks boxes for you. It's a very fast, the phrase "I love you" comes very fast. It comes ridiculously fast. With some narcissists, it will come within weeks. And you say, how can somebody say that to me within a few weeks' time? Is it just that they are the one, and that, you know, I finally met my one and they finally met their one? That may happen in maybe 1 out of 500 or 200 or whatever statistic you would like to use, that happens and it works out. But in general, that's movie stuff, that's Hollywood stuff, that's what we would dream of happening stuff. And it doesn't happen in everyday life with authenticity. So narcissists can say that to you very quickly because, one, they know how powerful the word love is, and I love you is an incredibly intoxicating and powerful hook to build trust and to have someone come towards you much, much faster than they might normally. It kind of negates 6 months of having to work hard with the person to form the opportunity to say the I love you. And it gets them what they need quick. And the narcissist, not having empathy, is not capable of love. So they see this love word used in general in society, and they see people smiling and happy when the love word is used with them or to them in a relationship. So they tweak, ah, that's it, I'll use that. And that is as cold and calculating as it actually is. So you'll get an I love you very, very quickly in the relationship. The next thing is, and I had this myself, a very fast let's move in together. And I'll tell you the personal excuse or reason that this was followed up with as being a valid, you know, thing to do was we're at a stage in life where, you know, we know each other quite well, you know, in relation to we know who we are ourselves. And the only way that this is going to actually, we're going to see if this works out, is if we actually take the plunge and move in together. This was 4 or 5 months into the relationship. So needless to say, moi did not do that, but and was definitely given the cold shoulder when that didn't work. And of course, the push and pull dynamics and the love bomb dynamics of the relationship make you go, oh gosh, you know, maybe I should do what they say because they're accusing me of not loving them and not trusting them enough. So no matter how you explain, I'm just not ready, you're going to get punished if you don't go along with the narcissist's narrative and agenda. So the let's move in together comes very quickly as well. Tell me how quickly did yours come in the comments. The next thing that I particularly found very interesting, and I know that it does happen with a lot of people, if there's a family around that supports the narcissistic agenda or supports the narcissist getting a new partner, because that gets the narcissist off the family's back, that keeps the narcissist happy, and the family's much happier when they're not going to be interfered with too much by the narcissist. And that's as inhumane or humane as it gets. But the people in the family generally know that that person has something wrong with them, that they're a narcissist, and there's hell to play within the family when the narcissist does not have narcissistic supply. So the family is quite happy when a new partner is introduced that's going to take that darn narcissist's attention off causing family issues. So you may get introduced to the family very quickly, you know, inappropriately quickly, or their children inappropriately quickly. And that's a red flag, particularly if you're introduced to somebody's children really quickly. I think that means there's a quick turnover of people in that person's life and they're not respecting their children or loving their children by doing that, in my opinion. So the family then, you know, that is glad to see a new partner introduced by the narcissist at quite an early stage is going to assist the narcissist in love bombing that particular person and welcoming them in and saying, oh, you're amazing. You're, oh, wow. Literally, they're going to make a big to-do about you. You're the next thing, best thing since fried bread, and it's all wonderful until it's not. So if you're introduced to the family quite quickly, along with the other two, I'd go, ouch. The next thing is talking of moving location. Now, moving location is fantastic in life. You know, changing properties is a fantastic thing to do in life if that's where you're at. But if you're quite happy where you are, and the narcissist suggests a move very quickly, particularly to a place that you don't have any connection or support, that is something you should really think about. Because it's very beneficial to the narcissist to get you to move quickly, particularly if you're bringing funds from a house sale or property sale with you that the narcissist may have access to in the moving phase. That's dangerous. But the other thing that they like to do is to get you to move to an area or location where you don't have any support, because that makes you so much easier for the narcissist to control and feed off you for narcissistic supply, because you're basically isolated with the narcissist, at least for a period of time. Another big, I suppose, red flag or form of entrapment that all these narcissists use, they play the same playbook. It becomes boring when you've dealt with it an awful lot, and it's not boring for the person that's being tortured by it or destroyed by it. But you see the same thing happening to people over and over again. That's what makes it boring, that they have no other way of living other than to come in and try and be a predator towards somebody and harvest somebody. And this is the way that they go about it, to get the feed as quickly as possible. I hope nobody's too disturbed by this, but you know, the analogy of that is very apt, particularly for this particular podcast, the entrapment of the prey. The next thing they do to hold you, to keep you attached to them, or to make it more difficult and problematic, no matter how much you want to leave them, they're going to put anchors on you to weigh you down. And one of them, of course, is to move location. That's a big life change. And it's not easy after, say, moving location for 2 months to then decide this isn't working and I'm going to have to totally move again. Not alone the expense, but the psychological energy it takes to actually do that, to make that shift. The next thing they do is they will try and entice you into an early pregnancy. Like, I'm talking 1 or 2 months into the relationship. I'm even talking, in the worst case scenario, weeks into the relationship, or try and trap you by becoming pregnant without your consent or knowledge. So these things are life changing, and they act fast with life changing events, because they know then that you're going to be in some way beholden, tied to them, or there's going to be a quick return for their buck. The next thing they will do, and this is a longer term way of entrapping someone. So let's say some of the moves that we've mentioned already have been used on you, and you're getting a bit kind of unsettled by the speed of things. And, you know, things are kind of a little bit edgy at times with the narcissist, like they're kind of bringing you into the devaluation stage in order to pump out more supply from you. And not for them not to have to continue with the love bomb, which is an energy expenditure to them. They literally want to entice you, like they have you in their sights as prey. And then they want to go in for the trap, to get you. But then in order to keep you in the trap until they're satisfied with what they're getting out of it, they will future fake you with marriage or a proposal of a business, but it's something in the future. It's something that if you stay under control enough, if you're compliant enough, this is all about compliance, so that they can actually harvest your reserves under your very nose. And this is reserves of your energy, reserves of your connections, reserves of your character traits. They want to use your family and friends and any financial benefits you would be able to bring, or they'd be able to trick you out of or steal from you. All this is about control and compliance and accessing what you have to offer that they can steal from you. So this is all going on with all of these different ploys, and the marriage future faking is a great one for them to kind of tell you in the present tense something that is they convince you is going to happen in the future for you to put out for something that may or actually may not happen. And in general, doesn't happen unless you have a lot more of what they want and they need to do that. They need to actually marry you. So some narcissists will go through with the marriage thing if they think it's going to be beneficial to them at the end of the day, that they're going to get a good divorce dividend out of you. And that's the plan. That's their business plan, their personal business plan. But they'll use it with some people to future fake, people that they know would marry them in an instant, but they don't think that person has enough of a dowry to bring to them, literally, like in the old days. But they'll stay with that person for a certain period of time as a holding position, get what they can from that person on the journey while they put in their sights somebody with a bigger dowry that they're going to be able to harvest from. And that's the person they'll marry quickly to get it. This happens over and over again with narcissists. It's all they seem to know, how to trap somebody, feed off them, and then discard them and go on to the next. The next thing they'll do is, as a form of entrapment, they want to financially entangle you. So the marriage, the children, the divorce, all of that is kind of bound up in finances as well as life commitments. They will throw life commitments, big life changes at you. And the other thing that they'll do is they will present as the victim and ask for your help. And if you loved me, you would, is the kind of modus operandi. You said that you'd help me and support me. How do you love someone? Do you not give them money to help them pay off a debt that they came into the relationship with? What kind of a person are you? Are you too mean to do that? All of that will be leveled at the target or their prey as a form of entrapment to emotionally blackmail you into maybe paying off a debt of theirs. But when they go, you will be left with that debt. And that's the way they travel, particularly the younger or more middle-aged ones who have, say, leverage in relation to moving through people quicker, that they're not known, that they move in different areas, that there's no build-up of character traits in a particular community. So people don't have a point of reference and they keep going and getting new people, and they'll use their looks, if they still have their looks, to create these untrue stories about their past. So financial entanglement with somebody that you only know a short amount of time, and I'm talking a year or two, that's short enough. If they've done all these other things as well, and if they meet the criteria, particularly for narcissistic personality disorder or sociopath or even psychopath, very hard to know initially. That's why we need this information. That's why we can use information of this nature to make our own personal assessment, because they ain't going for therapy. There's nothing wrong with them, remember. You're the one with the problem. So, you know, you have all of this coming at your poor brain, and your brain is working from a normal perspective. It hasn't known that there is people of this ilk out there. So now you know, use it and protect yourself. I think I have two more in relation to what they all do. It's just ridiculous. It's so boring. Go away on your donkey. Don't bother me anymore. This is like, it's awful when you're in it. It's devastating. It's personally destructive. When you look back and think of what they did and do, it doesn't make it any less worse, but you kind of go, if only I had just known that there were these type of people out there, and I hadn't taken it all personally, and I hadn't believed everything, you know, and their manipulations. I hadn't just given in so easily because I trusted them. Number seven, they'll get you to speak in court on their behalf against an ex, and it may be 6 months or a year into your relationship with the narcissist, and you really don't know who you're dealing with, and you're speaking up for them in court against an ex who probably may have been another narcissist, or they may not. But you're believing the narcissist's story and you're speaking for them without knowing who they actually are. So they're basically utilising you as a character witness. That can actually even be one of the reasons that they're with you. Whatever the narcissist needs, they go shopping. They literally go shopping for what they need at any point in any given time. And the person with the most attributes that they're looking for, the most features they're looking for, that's going to be the easiest to control, will get chosen. It has nothing to do with you and your beautiful value as a person. They will also entrap you in a way that they will make trouble with your family of origin for you. Any kind of wound or, you know, rivalry or jealousy or anything that you would have felt was wrong with your family of origin, they will press on that sore, and they will give bare false witness that some of your family said things that they didn't say, and that they do things that they didn't do. Oh, your family doesn't like me. All this kind of old crudology. Let's make that a new word. All this crudology is what they go on with. So, you know, when they have caused problems between you and your family, and I mean, we can take accountability as well, but they're feeding into the negative side of life. So you're being probably the worst version of yourself when you're with a narcissist. And then you become the best version of yourself because you cannot go there with them. However, in this phase, you may find yourself with a narcissist having a lot of differences, difficulties and problems with anyone that supports you, because that's not in the narcissist's favour to have anybody giving you a different opinion of who they are, and taking your time and energy from them, and minimising their level of control over you, their sole ownership and proprietorship of you, their narcissistic supply form. And the very last thing I have down is, and this is a dreadful form of entrapment, and it kind of makes you feel like you're crazy, like makes you feel like you're a mad person, because it actually works and it makes you feel very bad about yourself for a time. It's a temporary thing until you understand what's happening. They'll give you mini discards to bring you under control. And I'm talking about when you start to put boundaries in or stand up for yourself in any way. And this isn't even shouting the odds. This is just basic, normal human compassion or any level of equality in the relationship, any self-determination. You'll be punished for that big time, because that means you're escaping. You're escaping the narcissist's trap in their mind. And they're hyper-vigilant and hyper-paranoid about you maybe getting away from them before they've finished feeding and before they decide to discard you, when they have your replacement in their sights and nearly trapped. So the mini discards they'll give you is they'll go away for a night. They'll even give you the silent treatment in the house, or they'll leave for a whole weekend and not tell you where they're gone, or they won't answer your texts. And you will be in such chemical withdrawal, and this is hormonal depletion, adrenal fatigue, psychological imbalance, that you will need them like a drug at that stage, because that's what they worked on. That's the biggest entrapment, your hormonal regulation. That has been taken away from you very subtly with a number of manipulations, more than we've actually mentioned here. And when they go, you realise that you're in extreme withdrawal, and it's a horrible state to be in. It's horrible. It's like literally withdrawing from substance. And it takes people quite a long time to actually get away from that, because when there's a withdrawal and the narcissist then comes back and everything's whoopee-doo again, you go so high that you can't bear the thoughts of them doing that again, and you become super compliant until you're not. Until you kind of go, I don't want to live like this anymore, or the narcissist actually gives you the final discard, which isn't the final one. I'm talking about the final one for the phase that you're in at the moment before they come back to hoover you again. So that's the worst at the end, guys. That's the buildup of all the other, you know, seven things that narcissists will do to everybody, because they're exquisitely effective moves for the narcissist, where there's a person who is not protected with the knowledge that we now have. So can I ask you, please, to consider sharing, liking and subscribing. And I would like to give a recommendation of a person that I have very good reports about, who is a medium, if anybody wants to explore that area of life. And I'm going to leave her details in the description if anybody is interested in that area on their recovery journey. So, and as well as that, sorry, I keep forgetting I had this list to tell you. The version of Weaponized Love is now out on Audible. Thank God. As I said last time, it was like pushing a bear up a mountain, and I kept sliding down. It went on a whole year trying to get this version of Weaponized Love out, where you can just listen to it instead of reading it on Audible. I think that's available on Amazon and Audible. And what else did I want to say? And the person that helped me record that, a sound engineer, I'm going to leave his details in the description as well for anybody thinking of making their own Audible book, if they want to contact this guy. He's brilliant and he's really helped me an awful lot, and I'd like to thank him on this particular podcast. Shea Fogarty is his name. So that's it for now, guys. We will see you again very soon. Please take care and protect yourself, particularly if you're going into a new relationship, or you're looking and trying to assess, was I in a relationship with a narcissist? I'm hoping that some of these pointers might help you make your assessment of what type of a person you were actually with, because it'll certainly help in the healing journey moving forward to have that knowledge to hand. Take care. See you again soon. God bless.